Blog Talk Radio.
Ain't no stopping us now. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling awesome. I'm feeling incredibly. That ain't definitely no stopping us now. I don't know. I'm just feeling that things are looking pretty good. Looking pretty awesome. We are 4 months out before the new year of 2019, and I'm saying Ain't no stopping us. Welcome to the Focus Show this Sunday. This Sunday, September the 8th, or shall I say September the 9th? I'm got a day off. And September the 9th, welcome to the Focus Show. It's 2 days before actually 9/11, the most incredible thing to happen on American soil during my lifetime. 9/11, and we 2 days out, and I'm excited about celebrating that. I knew where I was doing 9/11 and everything, but that was a very traumatic thing. But I just want to say that we have so much to be excited about, and so much to be potentially so focused about going into this new year. And, you know, this is part three of the Focus Show, The Sounds of Blackness, today's conversation. I got a special guest going to be coming on here, and they're going to be the headline of this whole conversation. And I think it's very appropriate to have this special guest, someone who's related to me and everything, to talk about know your identity, okay? Know your identity, okay? And I think it's real appropriate right now that we got next week at St. Stephen's Church. They got what we call the Angela Project that's going to be taking place this weekend, this following coming weekend, where Jesse Jackson and a few individuals are coming in. And I have to start this show off, you know, this way, because as I was returning back from an appointment, listening to the Saturday Morning Solution, and heard the person talking and the talk show host talking about the Angela Project, during that conversation, they made it be known that there's going to be a conversation concerning the descendants of American slaves, that there might be an announcement about that, and that Jesse Jackson may be making some type of, you know, announcement concerning that, and really caught me off guard, because I didn't see that one coming. You know, I didn't see that coming. You know, I almost swerved off the side of the road when I heard him say it, because nobody said anything about us. We've been probably the most adamant people or organization that's been, drumming and hitting the streets talking about we are not Negroes, we're not Blacks, and we're not African Americans. So when I hear on the radio that someone's talking about they're going to, I mean, literally the person said on the show, I just want you to stay on the show, Dad, listen to it. Person said on the show, I'm listening to the show, that Jesse Jackson is going to make an announcement that we need to change, potentially change our ethnic identity, and because Negro, Blacks, and African American is no longer, is really not working for us, and it is not appropriate, and it doesn't do anything for us. It hasn't done any thing for us, and we really are descendants of slaves. And I was like, what? Who? Where did that come from? So you got to understand. So this show is really, really kind of right on time right now, because here it is that we got one of the most prominent, pastors in the city of Louisville having Jesse Jackson come to his church this coming Friday and Saturday to talk about the potential that we need to be changing our identity. So coincidence? Is that a coincidence? Hey, listen, I don't know, but I don't live my life in coincidence anymore, especially when I tell you this. I supposed to have been working that Saturday morning, and I get a phone call Friday from my job telling me, hey, Michonne, we don't need you to come in and everything. Just take the day off. And so Saturday, normally it's so busy on the Saturday morning at work and everything, I don't have time to be listening to no talk show or no radio and everything. So coincidence that I happen to be off and heard this information being said? Coincidence? I don't live my life on coincidence anymore. I believe that my life is ordered by God. I believe that God has a purpose for my life. And I'm telling you, that's why I'm saying ain't no stopping us now. Whatever going to happen, whatever's going forward, whatever's happening for us, okay, it is important. It is important to notice that we got to take advantage of what's going on. And I'm telling you right now is that ain't no stopping us now, okay? The time is right. The opportunity is right. And we need to go ahead and step in. And I want to bring in, before I introduce my guest speaker and what we're going to be talking about, identity, I want to bring in my president of the Descendants of American Slaves. What's up, Leonard? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
What do you think about what I'm talking about here, brother? I mean, what's the chances of me being off in hearing that, in the hearing that they're talking about bringing Jesse Jackson to talk about this conversation, Descendants of American Slaves? What's the chances that that was just a totally coincidence?
Well, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think behind the scenes, you got some stuff going on that maybe we may not be aware of, that this movement is starting to pick up some steam here. People are starting to give this some thought. So we'll have to see how the conference turns out. But like I said, definitely people are paying attention and people are saying, let's maybe, these guys out of Louisville, these guys that came up with this concept, Mr. Norris Shelton, maybe these guys are on to something. So maybe we need to pay attention and take a look at that and see what's going on with that. So, yeah. So like I said, it's the fact that, it's more and more of these coincidences are going to occur. You're going to hear it in newscasts. You're going to hear it, people who I think what we posted on our website, on our Facebook page, is that aired broadcast on July 6th, where Tucker Carlson on Fox News actually was in a conversation with Dr. Cornel West and referred to quote-unquote African-Americans as descendants of American slaves in a conversation. So now we're hitting news, unprovoked. We're starting to hear these names come up, this identity come up in newscasts. So like I said, it's that's all a good sign. That's a sign that we're gaining some sort of momentum. So, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I'm glad that you actually brought that up about here we are listening to Fox News and everything. And again, the terminology comes up. That came up. What was that? That was Monday, wasn't it, Leonard?
Yeah, well, what it was, yeah, I think you said, Brock, it might have been a rebroadcast, but it shows that it aired or the interview actually happened July 6th.
Right.
And like I said, and you know, we pulled it back up again, and, you know, it's about a 10-minute interview. Like I said, if you go to our Facebook page, it's a 10-minute interview, and about if you get to about the seven minutes and 45 seconds of the interview is when Tucker is asking the question. They were talking about democratic socialism. You know, the conditions, you know, that obviously, you know, back and forth, the banner back and forth, but, you know, Dr. Cornel West was on there. And like I said, and he specifically said, how do you think descendants of American slaves would feel about, you know, 20 million undocumented immigrants coming into this nation, disrupting the economics of this nation? And what he basically alluded to was those who have been, you know, statistically at the bottom, all right, or those
right.
who have been disenfranchised, and those who have been you know, disadvantaged and disenfranchised and underserved. How would, you know, another factor that would, you know, interfere with the economic development of the descendants of American slave community, how would you feel about, you know, something like that happening? Which, you know, like I said, it really, you know, the conversation was a good conversation, the interview was good, but really it's about the fact that we're starting to get recognized, all right, by
right.
our name. So,
right.
So that's the key.
That's only that, you know what you just said there, brother. That, actually, let's keep it 100. I really care less about Cornel West, and I don't mean to be mean about it. I'm just going to keep it 100, okay? The fact that we're starting to have people call us by our name, how often have we been saying that? Didn't we say this about a year ago, 2 years ago? I mean, it's been a while. The moment that we start having people start calling us, no longer start saying Negro, Black, and starts using the terminology descendants of American slave, there's going to be a paradigm shift in this country. Okay, there's going to be a paradigm shift in this country. And, brother, we're starting to see it. I mean, we're starting to hear it. I mean, isn't it starting to happen? I mean, we talked about this, Leonard, and it's starting to materialize. Would you agree?
Yeah, I definitely would agree. Like I said, this is, you know, anything, no, progress is slow, because you're talking about trying to change, you know, 50, 60 years worth of an evolving identity, okay?
19, brother. You're usually talking about 50, 60 years. Whew, Lord.
No, I'm talking about when we became Black and African American. I mean, before that, you know, we was the N-word, then we was Negroes and all of that. I'm talking about when on a birth certificate after the Civil Rights Act, when we kind of really had started, because the Civil Rights Act is important because that's an act or a law that says you cannot discriminate against race. Okay, so
right.
Now you start having this conversation about race. Well, if we're talking about race and ethnicity, then who are we? Okay, and then, you know, we went through the, you know, say it loud, I'm Black and I'm proud, you know, all of that kind of stuff. See, so pretty much before then, you know, yeah, it was an evolving identity, but pretty much before then it was, you know, second class citizenship that was institutionalized by law. Okay, I mean,
right.
You said laws on the black codes and all these laws on the book that basically said, oh, this group of people could do this, and these are your rights, and this is this, and this is that, and this is all you can get, right? So, like I said, is you know, we dealt with all of that, but then, you know, like I said, after 1964 is when you actually had legislation in place, federal legislation in place, that prohibited the discrimination of a person by race. Now, you know, of course, they've added gender and sexual orientation, everything, but by race, ethnicity, color, you know, it was mentioning all of the terms. Okay, so
right.
So, like I said, from that point on, I really consider that a pivotal time, because that was the time that we should have really been trying to correct the issues of slavery, okay, and the issues
right.
of Jim Crow segregation, and it happened, but there were some other things that happened as well. So, but this whole thing with identity, what shall you call yourself? That's a pretty slick move that the government
right.
did. All right, that you know that kind of put us in a position where, hey, you know. You know, we're still, even though legally, you know, we're not bound by this, we're admittedly, see, this is the key, is that when you don't tie yourself to a legal identity, okay, or you
right,
do tie yourself
right,
to a legal
right.
identity, you admit that with your mouth or your writing or your words,
right,
okay,
right,
or
right.
in writing, then you're bound to that in all of the rules. See, so that's what I mean by this evolving, you know, 60 years of evolving identity, and now, you know, finally we have a chance to get it right.
Right, right, right. Well, yeah, what you said there, that's a very valid point there, what you just said there. And so this conversation is starting to take some serious roots, man, and so it is just appropriate that we have a conversation as we get ready to go into next week, where we're going to have a special guest, people talking about the Angela Project and everything at St. Stephen's here in Louisville, Kentucky. And then this past weekend, I'm on the radio, listening to the radio, and I'm hearing this announcement. So it just makes sense that today we have a conversation. Then it also makes sense with our special guest that I have coming on today, which is, you know, he's really special to me, okay? My father, Charles E. Daniels, from out of Atlanta. You know, this man has, you know, I got his last name. He's been an influence in my life and everything. But I have to say I'm going to let him say if he wants to say anything personal about between us and everything and the growth and everything. We done come. I'm going to let him do all that. But I just want to say that in his last few months or so, I tell you, this last year or so, it's been a very emotional awakening, an emotional understanding, and an emotional. And I think we've both been growing as father and son in this relationship and everything. And then I introduce him to the concept of God's Lives Matter, and then I introduce him to the concept of descendants of American slaves. And he's older than me, so you know he's an elder. He comes from that time and period where, you know, he's seen and recognized us struggling with the identity. We didn't know who we were, and, you know, we call ourselves all this and all that and this, that, and other. I mean, I know you remember the say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud, okay? I know you remember that times and everything. And so it's my honor, and you know, to have my father to be a person that come on and going to be the guest speaker for the day, okay, as we're going to let him speak and get out what it is that he wants to say. And then as he gets out, I mean, I'm hoping that he has about, I'm going to give him about 45 minutes, maybe 40, maybe less than that. And, you know, he lets me know when he's, you know, he wrapping it up, that then I'm going to be able to open it up to everybody to let you be able to have conversation. But I just want to say, what's up, my dad? Welcome to the Focus Show. How you doing, man?
I'm great, and I'm honored to have this opportunity to share. I'm glad to hear everything that is happening, but reality will strike when time for it to strike. And the time is now. My biggest concern would be, how are we going to be when it really occurs? How strong are we going to be in our thoughts in regards to that identity that we're searching for? I found the African proverb, and the proverb went something like, when you discover who you are, only then will you be free. Now, we shared all the things in regards to being called slaves, being colored, being Negro, being Afro-American, and some of the other names that we won't mention here that we endure. But there's one reality that I feel that we really don't look into. If we're not any of these things, then what are we? And I think we really need to begin to consider on that thought, because we were something great in the early beginnings. I've always felt in reading the Bible, and I always got stuck on this particular section that said, the Creator formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In the image and likeness of the Creator, man was formed. So again, I put a question before you. Who are you? If that's my image and that's my likeness, what do that make me? And I had to deal with the reality of that thought and finally realize that I'm the essence of that. And within me was placed the essence of the Creator himself. But in real life, what transpired was the fact they had me looking for it here and looking for it over there, and I could never find it. And as a result, I lived the dual existence that exists in this country and countries today. And being dualistic in my thoughts, I was very unstable in my ways. And I had to learn what it is, because there's nothing I can say or anything that I can share with you that you have not heard already. I read books, I've listened to people talk, and I'm still saying, why am I not making the move necessary in order for me to grow into the me that I was supposed to become? And the reality was that I lived a dualistic existence. And I think that once we can buy into the reality of that dualistic existence, and then we can cut off one and begin to become strong in the other. Reality or illusion? Now, the human man would deal with the illusion, and the spiritual man would deal with the reality. The unfortunate part of that is the fact that we try to live between both. And in that is our problem. We can't exist between two and three.
But Dad, I'm gonna have to jump in there and cut. Woo, Lord, I know you. You know this. I'm gonna have to jump in there a little bit and slow you down. Woo, Lord. You know what I mean, you jump right in there and got us going. So I want to. I know you guys are, but you know, part of the focus show. You know, nobody know who you are really. They know you, my dad, Charles E. Dad. They don't know who you are. So you know, part of what I like to do, and I used to do this with the focus show before, is they already gave us, I'm sure everybody already got a good snack. Notice I said a snack of where you at and where you going and everything. But before you, you know, jump really more into where you going with this, can you please tell people who you are, where you come from, where you break off, you know, as I say, people don't need to know where you began, in, like it says in the Bible, in the beginning. So tell us about, you know, I want people to know who my dad is, okay? In the beginnings, who are you? Where you come from, okay? Tell us a little bit more there. But before you do that, okay, I got to acknowledge that Queen is in an emergency room. I got a text from her, and she's in the emergency room and everything, and she didn't tell me what's going on. So I want to make sure I lift up her up. I know you spoke to Queen, and I know Leonard, you know, Queen is, I don't know what's going on. She wouldn't say. But I want to acknowledge her in this show, and I wanted to do it with you, Dad, since there's a potential that she may be family with us. You know, she got her family, right. Her birth name is Daniels. That's, you know, her right. Birth name is Daniels. Okay, so we may be, and her family started out of Miami, so we may have some connection there. So I want to lift her up as well, and her being in the hospital and everything. So, but Dad, go ahead and tell us about who you are and where you come from.
Well, let me say this: I was no angel. And being in this dualistic society, I accepted a lot of his ways. I was born in Miami, Florida. I was a law enforcement officer for over 16 years with the city of Miami. And I even lived a dual existence in it. Relationship-wise, I really wasn't doing too great because I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I resigned from law enforcement sometime in the late 70s. I left the country for 3 years, and I lived in Haiti for those 3 years. And I had to rediscover myself because I did a lot of things that I know that I should not have done. My son and I are reuniting in a sense, and it's been a lot of years, and we really had no positive relationship. In fact, we really weren't even talking together. But sometimes you have to you turn things over into the hands of the Creator, and when that time comes, the door will be open, and the Creator did open the door. Now, what I can tell you about me was wrapped up in a song that we've probably been hearing for the past couple of weeks for quite some time, and that was The Amazing Grace. And the first segment of that song stated something like, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, and now I see." Now, the question that would probably come to most minds at this particular time would, what was I lost from? I was lost in the concepts of worldliness that was fed to me. Dr. Carla Wolfson said in his book, The Miseducation of the American Negro, and as soon as I read the words on that book, the very first thing that came to my mind was the fact that if we are miseducated, then that means that the people that taught us were also miseducated. So therefore, we learned all the things that we shouldn't have learned, and we followed those principles. Those principles became a part of us, and we became a part of them, and in that we are lost, for in that I was lost. I'm happy to have a relationship with my son and my sons, and it can only grow stronger because we are going to grow stronger. But this time we're going to grow stronger in the reality of humankind and not in the illusions of humankind. And that's pretty much where I am today. Now, at the end of this, if you want to ask me some questions in regards to life, I have nothing personal to hide. However, those things have to be released. Now, how do we release them? We had to go into a rediscovery of ourselves, and that's exactly what I did. If everything that I was taught was wrong, then I had to do something to re-strengthen me in the belief that I was supposed to have. Six primary questions I had to entertain, and that was the who, what, why, how, the when, and where of my life. The most important one was, who am I? Now, I could tell you my name, Charles Edward Daniels. I can tell you I was born in Miami, Florida. I can tell you the hospital that I was born in. And I might even be able to tell you the time frame of that birth. At that time, I grew learning the things that were told to me. My parents taught me what they knew. The system began to teach me what it wanted me to know. And I began to adhere to those things. But there was still something in me that just wasn't right because I wasn't doing the things that were right. And as a result, I had to begin to deal with those things. What do I need to do in order to make me become the person that's inside of me, the person that want to be freed? Worldliness couldn't free me. regardless of who did what in this society, it wasn't going to free me until I learned how to free myself. Because in reality, the leader in each and every one of us must surface. We need no man to tell us what it is that we ought to do, because the man to tell you that is already within you. I recently went back and watched the Black Panthers movie, and toward the end, I remember the young lady saying this to the king. She said that it was her duty to fight for what I love. Now, according to things that I've learned in regards to the changes that has to be made within myself, was the fact that love was in me. In fact, the essence in me was that of love. My responsibility was to protect it. And I failed because I did everything that I should not have done for that essence. And as a result, I went through all the negative frustrations that I've experienced in this life as a result of that. So what I had to do was be to find and give some meaning to some of the things that I have been reading, and that was, in the image and likeness of my Creator, I was formed. So that told me who I was. And once I was able to buy into the reality of that statement, then I began to realize that I am a great individual. There is nothing wrong with me. I am as powerful as I make myself to be, because what I have going for me is the imagination power to either make me as great as I want to be or as weak as I desire to be. And since the choice is mine, why not do those things that are going to give me strength? And that's the same thing that I extend to each of you. The choice of your position in this life, it's your choice. No one makes that choice but you. And you would either be strong in it or you will fail in it, depending upon how you decide to approach it. And since that power is ours, why not go ahead and strengthen it and become one with it? And then anything that tried to face you that is not of love, you can automatically turn away from you. It's time for a change in our life, and as my son would say, we have to unlearn to relearn. So, in essence, I wasn't a great individual, and my son would probably tell you that. I'm not going to get into too any personal things, but that says a lot in regards to my personality and the type of individual that I was. But now, even though I had that bad part of me, there was still goodness within me, because the essence of that good spirit dwells within me. The only thing I did not do, I did not strengthen it as well as I strengthened the worldly part of me. And I had to break away from the worldly illusions that I was giving life to and begin to strengthen myself in the spiritual truth of my existence on this life. Now, you might ask, well, Mr. Daniels, what are your powers? And it's very simple. I would tell people, as I told myself, if the Creator said that I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, that says a lot to me if I believe in my created source. I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And it was then that I realized that the person that I did not love was myself. And how can I give something to someone that I don't have within me and I don't feel strongly enough about? And in life, that's exactly what I was doing. I was trying to find love in the people that was presented to me, and they could not give that to me. Love is a thing of sharing. And I had to learn that, and once I did, I realized just how wrong I've lived my existence in this life. And it didn't have to be like that. But the choice to do that was mine. No one forced me to accept the things that I accepted. No one forced me to do the things that I did. I did it on my own accord. I can't blame the system. I can't blame my parents. I can't blame my ex-wife. I can only look at me and say, you are responsible for your actions. And I take full responsibility for the things that I allowed me to go through, and ask forgiveness from the people who are offended in the process of that learning. So, presently, who am I and what are the powers that have been given me? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. If you think on those nine principles and look at all the negative things that we give life to, these nine things could defeat any of those. If I'm angry, I need only call on love. If I'm full of sorrow, I need only call on joy. If I'm impatient, then I have the power to be patient. And in every human being who I encounter, I can greet with kindness, goodness, and gentleness. The faith to believe that all things are possible for me, and self-control. Now listen to this one. If I learn to love me, and I have the power to understand and accept that there's nothing impossible for me, I can't help but have self-control. And then all the negative things that we do in life to destroy that presence of ourselves, we can't jump into those things that keep us down and suffering. Self-control is our enemy, but love and power is our strength to keep us from giving in to that enemy. And I learned that the hard way, and I don't feel that anyone has to go through that. And it's time for change. I did not recognize slavery. In fact, I bought into what much of us buy into based upon how the world presented it to us. And they showed all the negativity and never showed the positiveness in regards to slavery. But when you stop to think about it, there were some great individuals of whom I would probably ever know if they were ever related to me or not. But the fact lies, there were some great individuals that survived through all of that so that you and I could be present today. So how can we not want to give credit to their existence? I grew feeling I was American. Now, they gave me all the other names, not that I asked for them, but they gave them to me. But I could not adjust to any of them. And as I said, being that I could not exist in those frame of thoughts, that I had to think about something or find something that was going to release me. And once I saw image and likeness, one thing just stood in my mind. I am in the image and likeness of my Creator. And once I was able to accept that, things began to change for me. My son and I are doing things together, and I'm grateful for that. My other son, we were talking together, and I'm thankful for that. And life is changing for me now. It's not as dismal as it was. Now, in law enforcement, I had a very good 16 years. I see all the things that are occurring now. Things were occurring back there during my time, too, but we never really had the result to, at least I never really had the result to that type of behavior and handling situations. But the fact lies, now that I understand, the reason I probably didn't do some of the things that are being done now was because that principle of love was within me. It just wasn't as strong as it should have been. And I'm all about strengthening that now, and becoming the type of person or individual that manifests that love, not only to himself, but he demonstrates that same feeling to everyone he encounters. And I feel that that's exactly what we're going to have to do in regards to making that change for ourselves. Our religious leaders can't give it to us. They can direct us through a book, but the principles of that book we would have to give life to. I gave life to the understanding of the image and likeness of that creative source within me. I don't look here and there for it, because I realize that anything that I do, I did. No one forced me to do it. If I drunk a lot, which I have, drunk a lot, it was only because I chose to do that. But wanting to be free, I had to remove myself from that type of thinking. I don't know what else I can tell you about me.
Dad, let me tell you something. I got some. Let me tell you. I just want to take a moment and say, point my fingers and say, all right, woo, all right, golly, got me, you, woo, Dad. I lived in the house with you and everything, and you know, and we didn't talk this much when we was growing. We didn't have this much calling. I ain't heard you talk like this in the whole time, in the whole 18 years, in the years I was together. And I'm just telling you, man, this is beautiful. This is beautiful listening to you.
But you know, one thing happens in work, and a lot of us don't see the reality of it, but we become workaholics.
Yes.
And we expect our close family to understand.
That's for doggone sure. I said you was a workaholic, and I can say a lot of people don't know. A lot of people don't. I'm not really sure people to understand, but I lived the upper middle class. We had a pool. I lived a very privileged life, even though I couldn't actually explain it to the people around me, because you know, having a police car in your driveway, hanging out with friends in Miami, is like being a preacher's son. You know, and back in those days, you know, in the 90s, everybody started airing your laundry. You didn't air your laundry back then. You just, you know, you endured it and everything. So, wanting to be accepted by a whole lot of people, I like I said, I had to own up to my portion. I went down avenues that I shouldn't have gone, and I'm not sure that's what led to my mother, you know, putting me in the military at 18, and that's where we went our separate ways and everything. And then we finally, over the course of 20 years, right, Dad? I mean, just divided. We separated for over 20 years, wasn't we?
That's correct.
Yeah, over 20 years, okay? We had no connections, you know, and we didn't need talking. So I want y'all to understand that this evolving that you're hearing, and my dad and I and everything, is an evolving that over the course of 20, 25 years, we've come back together. And as you can probably tell, we give glory to God. And, you know, but we also have to, that you had a choice. I had a choice, too. Remember the first time that, you know, you and I reached out to one another, I had to make a choice. I mean, because, you know, it was hard for me. I mean, I literally, you know, we talked about it. It was hard. I mean, it was hard for me. It was hard, okay? But I had to make that choice. So what I want to do, you know, is open the lines, you know. You know, I'm opening up all the lines. And what I'm going to say is that how we do this on the Focus Show, all right, is that all the lines are going to be open, all right? And you get the opportunity to whoever, and we're gonna do it, you know, a little bit at a time. You know, I'm not gonna pick no one out right now. I'm just gonna open up the lines. I mean, we got a lot of people on the lines, so I'm Dad, you dropped some seeds on a lot of people today. You dropped a lot of seeds on a lot of people today. I mean, the lines are. I got a whole lot of people on here. So a whole lot of people heard this. Heard this conversation and everything. So so how the rules is going to be is that whoever want to be the first one to, you know, have a question or make a statement to my father and everything, you make yourself known, and then from there, we'll go progress from there. So who wants to say they want to be first? Who wants to be first? Who wants to be first? Hello?
Yo, Michonne, I go first.
Man,
this is Adolph.
Who?
This is Adolph, man.
Hey, what's up, Adolph?
Hey,
how you doing, man? You get the...
Good. Yeah, I do that, man. I came on late, but I was hearing your father speak. And I just want to ask him a question, because I know he stated quite a few times that he is of the Creator. He's in the image of the Creator. Other than the Bible, what other image? I mean, nobody knows what the Creator looks like. Nobody knows what the Creator looks like. So other than the Bible that says that we make you in our image, what other reference do you have to say that you are, say that we are the image of our Creator?
Well, from my understanding, and even reading the Quran, I base my thing on, I say Creator because I couldn't put a manly image to it. And I couldn't say God because I didn't know whether or not people understand what I'm talking about, the capital G or the small G. So I chose to say Creator. And more so I bought into the fact of the wordings within the book, image and likeness and love. And then to adorn myself with the thoughts of it and not try to play some type of image for me of it, then it's just a spiritual thought in regards to Creator. And the words are the thing that really changed my existence, because I truly understand the fact that we were created based upon things that we've heard. But now we create ourselves in our thinking, in our actions. And we can't blame that on anybody or give that to anybody but to ourselves. I created me to become the me that I became.
But
and I can't
I guess
fault anybody.
My question is, we have never seen what the Creator looked like to know that we look like our Creator. And so when people say that, you know, we are image of God or we are Creator, whether what the Quran says or what the Bible says, or what the Torah says, but other than those sources, which is a book that's referenced with no other references to it, there's nothing else that says that we look like God or what the devil looks like. Nobody knows what Satan looks like, the devil looks like,
and
nobody knows
true.
What God looks like.
And as a result of that, it's up to us to paint the picture that we want to paint within ourselves. And I chose Creator. Some people call spiritual essence. Some people call the universe. They've given it a mirage of different names. I just chose the Creator. Now, whether that was in human form or not, I can't tell you that because I don't know. Because love is not human. And as a result, in the essence of love, I was created. And because I didn't want to say God, I decided I would say the Creator, because some source, according to the words in these books, formed me. Now, whether that was real or not, I really don't know. But what I do know is the fact that the power in the wording of what was being said from those books were the things that I began to accept, and I refused to start living the dualistic principles that I was choosing to live by. I was like a seesaw in this life. I was going between love and I was going between fear, and I was trying to balance myself in this life. And I gave life to a lot of thoughts that I shouldn't have. Anger, bitterness, hatred, guilt, jealousy, you name it. I gave life to it. And being that I had the power to give those things life, I also have the power to put those things that are going to be pure and just within me. Now, I'm not putting no human form with this because, see, I wasn't around when this book was written. But in regards to words that are going to be encouraging and energizing me in a positive type manner and strengthening me to do good in all that I do and to accept the fact that there's nothing impossible for me, I would give power to the words and not try to see if there's a human image around it to guide me.
Hey, I want to get Reverend Elliott, since I've noticed that he's on this line. What's up, Reverend Elliott? Welcome to the Cokie Show. You heard my dad. Well, what do you wanna say to my dad, Reverend Elliott? Reverend Elliott. Okay. Yeah, well, I know you're on the line. Anybody else wants to have a conversation or want to say something to me?
Hello, this is Leonard. I'd like to chime in off of what Adolf said. I think when we talk about being formed in the image of God, this is my understanding, is it's not a physical image, but attributes and a spiritual image, okay? What are the things, what types of characteristics would a loving God or a wrathful or vengeful God or however you want to, what type of attributes would God have, okay? Like I said, when you think of man, all right, when you think of men, what type of attributes do men have, all right? Men are selfless, supposed to be selfless. Men are driven. Men are creative. We create things with our hands. It's all types of attributes that make us masculine as a man, and it's also the same types of attributes that make a woman. I'd mentioned to Michonne, one of the differences is the difference between nurturing and fostering. Men foster and women nurture, okay? God fosters and God also nurtures because human beings are actually two types of beings were created to be one, all right? All of these attributes, okay? So when you say image, you know, it's not, okay, was God black? Was God white? Was God, you know, physical images. That's not what it is at all. That's just like one of the questions people ask, say, well, how do you know there's a God if you've never seen God? I said, well, how do you know you have a mind? You can't see your mind, but you can see it at work, okay? So it's the same thing with God. You can see God at work, all right? And a lot of people are looking, well, I don't see God. I say, what do you mean you don't see God at work? When you look in the mirror, God is at work, okay? If you look outside, if you look at a I'm going to tell you what did it for me is I saw a buzzard just flying one day. I was cutting the grass. I seen a buzzard. You know, knowing about animals, okay, a buzzard has a brain about the size of a walnut, but he could fly effortlessly, okay, just hovering, you know. So I'm saying to myself, that's an intelligence, a divine intelligence that has created a creature specifically designed to do what it does effortlessly with not that great, you know, a small brain, okay, a little bitty brain. So like I said, these are things when I think about the image of God, all right, and how we're created in God's image, okay, these are the things that come to mind, not a physical, but, you know, the things that I do, okay.
Right, as long as we can view ourselves in the spiritual sense and not in the human sense, then the reality of those words we give life to.
There's a confusion here. There's a confusion. When you say an image, that gives a visual. When you say an image, that gives a visual. Spiritual doesn't really too much give a visual. But when you say the likeness of man or likeness of God, that gives the image and that gives a visual. So I don't see how you say it, you attribute it to a character.
Well, think about it like this, all right? You can see with your eyes, but what about a blind man? A blind man does not have eyes to see, but yet he still sees with his mind, okay?
But that's physical.
Listen up. We all can't talk at the same time. Let me say this. We are the creators of our thinking. Now, if we want to spend time thinking whether or not the thing image is in a person or is in a spirit, then we're losing the idea. your thoughts in regards to what you believe they're going to form the perfectness of your thoughts that will center around love and compassion for everything and everybody. And if we can develop those types of energies within ourselves, it has nothing to do with the physical form of anybody or anything. Love is love. Joy is what it is. Peace is what it is. Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You can't put an image around that, but you can become strong enough in them that will change your life forever.
Brother Daniel, you said a key word. You said believe. You have to believe. There's people that don't believe but still carry on in a normal manner, but they don't believe. So when you ask all those attributes that you're talking about and those characteristics that you're talking about, not everybody shares those attributes or characteristics.
And that's fine. Because it's different for each person. You know, the way we got to understand this is the fact that I had to find it my way. You'll have to find it your way. And the only thing we can do is share. I can't make you buy into my reality. That's the way it came to me. Now, once you get into it on your own, you're going to accept it the way that it comes to you. I don't believe that we should live between love and fear. I don't think there should be a balance. We will either have to choose one or the other. I chose to choose love because those nine principles I found defeat all those things, other things, the anger, the bitterness, the jealousy, the selfishness, the guilt, the self-pity, all those things that I was walking around and giving life to, I no longer had to do that because I bought into these nine qualities. Now, you might find another way of doing that. If that's so, that's fine, but at least you're doing what? You're taking the illusion of life, because we don't have to be angry at anyone. We don't have to hate anyone.
Okay,
and that's ultimately what we're trying to say as we're moving from this identity of saying Negro, Black, African American, these identities that has not done anything for us but kept us being angry, mad, and pointing fingers at somebody else and everything. It's time that we change and move on out of that and take on a new image of that. Hey, we got a couple other people. Well, these lines are full here, and I got a lot of people on this line. I'm trying to get, I want to get some other people in the conversation here. You know, anybody else want to jump in there and engage us? Alan, you on this conversation. Peter, you here. What you want to say?
Sure. Yeah, hi, this is Peter. Good to be on the show again as the official spokesman for white people worldwide. My official title, so to lighten up the perspective, no pun intended. Great conversation, and Charles, you did a wonderful job, and you know, your testimony, like you said, is your testimony, and I think it's a great transformation. What struck me, which I think is helpful for all of us, is you kind of talking about an internal or spiritual identity, which you relate to being in the image and likeness of God, versus external, you know, realities like ethnicity and family. And I think that's important. It's kind of like the flesh and the mind and the flesh, you know, if people focus on the external versus the internal, it's kind of a challenge. And I think in our world, a lot of people want to focus on the external. Well, I'm black, white, blah, 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 American. But those are external characteristics, where the internal characteristics, you know, are much more broad and universal. So that was one point that I think was very, very deep. The other thing is, yeah, it's something we all have to come to our own understanding and consciousness. I would say that everyone has a worldview, though. They may not believe in religion or Judeo-Christian, but, you know, you go to Nepal or you know, Peru and the jungles, everyone's got a worldview how they view things. And the internal world, of, which is invisible, as Leonard mentioned, the mind dictates what the external does, you know, as a man thinketh. But so that's interesting. So an invisible, intangible thing like the mind or spirit, actually a subject, dictates what the external physical body does.
And that's true. If we give life to our thoughts. Or death to our thoughts. And since the power allows to make a choice, then let me give life to
Let me interject here. There's some people got some static of your phone. You got a whole lot of activity going on, and it's being picked up on the show. I mean, I hear some dogs. I hear some children. I hear some voices.
The mute on.
That's me, Misha. I'm gonna mute. My bad.
Yeah. Okay. You want to ask something before you mute?
No, I'm just kicked back. I'm listening to everybody. I'm just checking it out. Hey, your pops laid it down real nice though. He laid it down real nice. Now I can't get back to the screen where I can mute this thing.
Yeah. That's you, Alan?
Yeah, that's me. Get me to where I can mute.
I'm talking to my daughter,
sorry.
Well, before you go, Alan, I want to make sure I introduce you to Leonard, man. Leonard is the one that you want to talk to about that. Hey, Leonard, Alan got a project, man. He got a truck, and we talked about this. I already know you're going to love to want to talk to Alan, so I've already gave Alan his number, and Alan's going to be talking to Leonard. Are you hearing me, Leonard?
Yeah, I'm here. That's fine. Yeah, pass my number on and we can talk.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I got you. How you doing today?
Okay. Alan, just call him up and tell him what you done told me, and you're going to find that Leonard is your guy. You're going to find out he's your guy that you're looking for.
Okay, cool. That'll work.
But then we can get past that, though. But he is your guy. You don't want to know. Hey, anybody else want to talk to Dad? You know, I'm gonna tell you something, boy. You really surprised me today. I mean, I didn't know. You know, I didn't know where you was gonna go. I gave you this. I kind of put you. You know, you know what I do. You know, I kind of gave you this assignment and everything. And let me tell you something. Let me just give you your props. You knocked this thing out the darn park. Bro, you knock it out the park, man. I'm so proud to say that I'm a Daniels, and I'm so proud to know that we have grown and we've gotten to this where we at today. It's a beautiful thing, and I just want to say thank you, Dad, for giving me the opportunity to make it right using those nine attributes that I found before I actually met you. I actually taught on the nine fruits of the spirit, so it was in me to do the right thing, even as you and I talking, even though I was struggling to do it was in me to do it, because I understood that I had power to do it, okay? Even though showing one to block it, you know, sometimes, again, a lot of ourselves get in the way of doing what's right when we know the right thing to do, but sometimes we get way of that. Yeah, am I right?
That's very true. And in closing my end, you know, it's amazing how we can go to a gym and try to do some things physically to get the body or keep the body strengthened. And we have to do the same thing with the mind. If we feed the mind double meanings, then we're going to be dualistic in this life. But if we single ourselves to give life to things that are productive and things that are created for ourselves and for others, then growth becomes ours. And I shared this with you one time before, and I'm going to end with this. When I was in elementary school, they taught me songs. One in particular that I know to this day, and you would think at 74, these things would have left me some time back. But this song went something like, this is my country, land of my birth. This is my country, it is the grandest on earth. And I'll pledge my allegiance to America, and I'll be bold. For this is my country for me to have and to hold. Now, of course, we found that out to be a lie. But what would have happened if this song was given to us in this manner? This is the Creator's country. It's just
That's
the
right.
land of my birth. This is the Creator's country, and it is the grandest on earth. And
yes.
I'll give my allegiance to my Creator, and I'll be bold. For this is my Creator's country for me to have and to hold. I think
yes.
it'll put a whole new different focus on our life in this country. The spiritual essence of us has to grow and become strong.
Wow. Hey, Leonard, go ahead, take over. I got to run for a minute. I'll be right back. You going close. Do we got 15 more minutes to do the show, and I got to step away because I got to get my wife to an appointment. Okay, Leonard said he got it. I'll be back. If you, Leonard, handle it, and I'll be right with Dad. I repeat that one more time. I don't think they got that. Please repeat it again. If they didn't get it, I think they need to hear it again. Repeat that again because I think it's so powerful. Please.
We got it.
What I was saying
we got it.
In regards to, you got it? Our early teachings, he didn't teach us properly. We need to find a way to include the creative source
That's
in
right.
our conversation. If
That's
this song was taught to me using the Creator in it, then I probably would have been a lot more positive individual in my earlier years. Because
yes.
this is my creative country, and it is the land of my birth. And I can't think of any other place greater than America, and it is the grandest on earth. But I'll pledge my allegiance to my Creator, and I'll be bold because this is my Creator's country for me to have and to hold. We just need to change our thinking and get away from those things that are detrimental to us and get right to those things that are crucial. It's just time to switch to those 9 qualities and strengthen those things within us. And all our dealings in this life will prove to be positive each and every time.
Brother Daniels, 2 questions.
Yeah.
2 questions. Let me ask
okay.
you. In that statement you just that in that I guess call it a statement that you just made. If everybody said that, is that only for blacks or is that for, I mean, well, people of color or is that for everybody? Because everybody had the
well,
same
America gave it to everybody. But I called it a lie because it didn't incorporate us during that time because we were still living within that color Negro type of framework.
I agree with you there. But can a Chinese person say
just,
that in China?
It was just words that was provided to us at that particular time. But that's what education did.
I totally agree with you on that. But can somebody from Russia say the same thing about their country?
Well, they can say that about their country, too. But at the same token, you don't give credit to man for it. You give credit to the Creator of it.
The Creator, right.
Yes.
And I agree with that. You would give credit to the Creator of the country that they were born in. Because you said that was the key source to that, is the country that you're born in. And that was one question I was asking you. Could you share that? Could that be shared with other countries? Now, the next one is, do you believe in loving thy neighbor?
Well, I have to know how to love my neighbor.
I think
I
think
love my,
not neighbor.
As you
I said, not neighbor.
I would say,
I'm an enemy.
I would say, I'm going to say yes, because I can't meet a man and say I dislike the man, because I don't know nothing of the man. So, therefore, if I met
yeah,
you
I'm going to correct myself and said loving the neighbor, not loving the neighbor, loving thy enemy. That's what I meant to say. Do you believe in the tutelage of loving thy enemy?
Well, I first have to classify who is my enemy. You know, because the fact still lies, I can't judge what's in another man's mind. When I meet you for the first time, I don't know if you're intent to do harm to me or you're intent to show me positive. I would just
I agree
to
with that.
Positive
what you establish, Right. Once he established he's your enemy, once the enemy has been established, can you turn the other cheek and learn to love that person? Should you turn
yes.
the cheek and learn to love that person?
You know what?
You should.
I was in law enforcement. I told you I was in law enforcement for over
mm-hmm.
16 years. I
mm-hmm.
ran into people that called me some of everything you can possibly be called.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I couldn't get out there and do anything demeaning to the person because that was not in my thing to do that. You know, because
mm-hmm.
I felt a door would be open at some point that individual and I would have contact again, and then the positiveness can show. Because even in the worst of us, there's good. And just because I met you for the first time and I saw your bad, it doesn't mean that you are a bad individual. It's just the fact of what I caught at that time. So, yes, I had to learn how to show love even in the circumstances are not as favorable.
Well, that's your opinion. I have to respect that. That's your opinion, and I definitely have to respect that. Me, I'm under a different tutelage.
But now,
in
reality, that's all we can do. When someone shares something, I'm not in a position to go against what you feel or what somebody else might think.
Uh-huh.
I would have to hear that because it wouldn't be proper for me just because you said something that I don't particularly like for me to just discard you and say, hey, you know, I would still show the kindness and the goodness and the gentleness toward you, even though you're saying something that don't go in the same vein because after all, we're all different.
Yeah, but
the
philosophy
that you have, I don't. What's that now?
I said, but that's a little bit more different than your enemy. I mean, disagreeing with somebody, we all disagree at some point in time with each other's opinion. But what I'm saying is your enemy. When you have somebody that's established enemy.
Okay, let me ask you this. What constitutes an individual becoming your enemy? Let me give you a phone number. And you feel free to call me and we can finish this out.
I'll get it from your son.
No, he don't have this one. And the other one stays sort of busy. This is my number for my self-realization business.
You want to put it out there? I mean, I'm sure I can get it.
I'm going to put it out there. 404-228.
Time to get a pen and get it in. Okay.
404.
Got it.
228.
All right.
9126.
Got it.
All right. Give me a call and we can finish that one up.
We definitely.
All right.
All right. So is there anybody else do it? No, we got roughly about maybe about 13 more minutes to go. Does anybody else have anything they would like to add or want to say or want to talk about? Like I said, the line's open.
Very good. Reverend Ellis, can you hear me?
Yes. How you doing, Reverend Elliott?
Yes, I'm very fine. Glad to be able to listen in and be a part of this great fellowship, great conversation. I've learned a lot from listening to the great thinkers, and certainly we bless God for each and every one that we have heard contributing to the discussion today. I have been so impressed with the spiritual growth that I have observed in Marshawn Daniels from the time that I have known him even until now. And I just know that God rewards effort, and he is one that puts forth great effort to improve his character and his relationships with others. And I think my greatest Foundation has come after having allowed the Creator, as I heard someone speaking about, to become a central part of my thinking and meditation and my efforts. For many years, I worked alongside Peter Hayes, and he and members of this church contributed so much to my better understanding of God. And this idea of the two great commandments that Jesus reminds us of and instructs us on, I think is the greatest need for humanity. If we all could just get the two great commandments active in our lives, we could see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, right here on earth. Remember, I'm sure many of you who are Christians, remember the man who went to Jesus and asked him, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered him and said that the greatest commandment is to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And he went on to say that the second one is like unto it, and that is to love others just like you love yourself. And to the brother, so to the brother who is asking the question about loving the enemy, if we get those two commandments a part of our being and a part of our life, we can't help but to love. If we're going to be obedient to God, we can't help but to love our enemies. And so I'm not going to take up the rest of the time, but I've certainly enjoyed everything that I've heard and the efforts that are being made for us to improve our relationship both vertically with God and horizontally with one another. And I just appreciate being exposed to such great efforts and great thinking. I think about the man when I was listening and joining in the conversation. I think about the man who bought an old swayback mule and said he was going to put him in the Kentucky Derby. For those of you that know about the Kentucky Derby, you know it's a high type race that's conducted once a year, and nothing but the finest of horses in that race. So they asked him, "But you've done a stupid thing about buying an old swayback mule to put in the Kentucky Derby. You shouldn't do that. Don't do that, because there ain't no way for him to win." And he said, "Well, I know that he's not going to win, but I just thought that the experience would do him good." And so with these conversations, I kind of feel as if this exposure sometimes can really just mean a lot. And having been exposed to men like Leonard Walker, Michon Daniels, Peter Hayes, and others who make up this great fellowship has done me good. I may not be able to contribute much, but the exposure, just being exposed to what God has blessed each of them to be able to contribute, has meant so much to me. And I ask you to pray for me that I'll continue to try to live out those two great commandments that Jesus has said that if we do them, we'll be able to cover all of the commandments. All of the commandments are covered in those two. And not only the commandments, but everything the prophets talk about. So we can feel pretty comfortable if we can just get those two great commandments part of our life. God bless you. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part.
And I'm back.
Sean, can I make one statement?
Yeah, go ahead, Dad.
Okay, here's what I like to say. I normally ask people in regards to most say that I love God. I love the essence of my creation since God seemed to be a problem with me saying it. But to say that I love that source, that creation, is also saying that I have to love myself because I am the essence of that.
Yes, yes.
And if I can actually see the reality of the relationship between it and me,
yes,
then I will begin to do something for myself that I wasn't doing before, and that's loving me.
Yes.
And once I learn how to love me, I will know how to handle those things that not of me that I don't create, and that includes my enemy.
Yes. Beautiful.
And,
beautiful.
We at closing here, and so what I like to do is I got about 5 or 6 people on the line, and I got people holding everything. I'm gonna just take the people that's on the line here, and I think I'd already heard from Reverend Elliot. I've already heard from my dad. I want to try to get a couple other people that want to, those who haven't said anything or not had it. And Leonard, you be the last to close us out. But anybody want to jump in there and put your last words and to be heard and what you heard here today, come on, let's get it going and let's get cracking here. Leonard, you're going to be the last one to speak. Thank you, Dad. Just be so you know, and also want to let everybody know, Queen is okay. She has a client of hers that had to go to the emergency room, and she had to go there with her client and everything. So Queen is okay. But who wants to jump in there and close out, give some last few minutes in this focus show, and what you thought, what you heard, and what you think, what you heard. Adolph, you want to jump in there?
Well, let me say this. Two things, man. First thing is, I don't believe in what what's the guy's name? Well, anyway, I don't think slavery was a choice. I don't believe in that slavery was a choice, man. That's just one thing I want to say. And another thing is, me personally, I don't feel that people should love their enemies, people who have done them wrong. There's no room for it. We've been doing that for years. Since the time of slavery, we've been loving our enemies, and it has not gotten us anywhere. That's just my take.
All right, next.
This is Alan. What's going on, Meshon? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Alan.
This is Alan. Yeah, I just want to say peace and power to everybody on the panel tonight. And I apologize if I seem like I digress when it comes to certain subject, but I don't get into religion talk or black history. I don't try to enter the conversations too much. I just let it be what it's going to be, and I just do my thing. I'm trying to survive out here. Still, remember the show we did a long time ago, Meshon, Living and Surviving?
Yes, sir.
Man, I am still trying to, I'm still surviving, so that's where my head is. Not to say that there's anything wrong with what you brothers are talking about or what's been going on in the world today, but I'm just trying to make my way and get in a position. I've out of all 12 of my kids, I'm left with 3 daughters in my house, my 3 youngest daughters. And, man, I done lost a lot along the way. But these 3, I'm a bust my butt to get them in position where they need to be. Because it's been rough,
yes,
for me.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, Charles S. Dutton said something, too, in the movie, man, I forgot, The Boys in the Hood, I think. And this goes along with the, this goes along the lines of what you guys have been talking about. He said to somebody, if Allah can make my son a better man, then so be it. So I'm saying that to say, whatever works for you, works for you. Whatever's going to work for me is going to work for me. As long as we find peace within each other, we should all be able to get along pretty good and get where we need to get in life. So I try to weed out all of the dialogue and the breakdowns and the history and religious, and I try to just live and find peace in everybody that I deal with. And it makes me feel better, and I know I make them feel better. So that's just basically where I'm at. But I appreciate being on here, and your pops really really moved me, man, and I love everything he said.
Hey, thank you, Alan. Hey, next. Peter?
My closing comments is a quote from Victor Hugo, the philosopher. More important than an invading army is an idea whose time has come, and Descendants of American Slaves is an idea whose time has come.
Hey, appreciate that, Peter. Well said. Who else before Leonard? Anybody else? Go ahead.
I was just saying, Sean, just in a short word, a verse from Scripture from the Apostle Paul, who says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And, of course, we know that Jesus was perhaps the most powerful person ever to live on the face of the earth. And the Apostle Paul said, let his mind be in you the same as it was in Christ Jesus. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. I got you. Hey, Lenny, you want to close us out?
I'll close us out. On the subject of the enemy, who our enemy is, just right quick. As a child, when I was learning how to swim, I was absolutely terrified of the water, because the water represented that which would cause me harm, okay? It would cause me harm to get in the water. I would drown, okay? But it was my responsibility to learn how to swim, to be able to handle and deal with the water so I would not drown, okay? So eventually, once I started swimming really well, and I could swim better and better, the water no longer became my enemy. I had a respect and reverence for it because of its power, but it was no longer my enemy because I knew how to deal with the water. But that started with me learning how to swim, how to be able to navigate, and how to be able to deal with that which, you know, I'd have to have respect with. So in closing, I'd like to say, when we're dealing with the enemy, okay, we have to first deal with ourselves.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that being said, Dad, hey Dad, you hit it, bro. You knocked it out, right? And this gonna be the show that everybody's gonna be directing people to, and everything. And for those who and for closing here, as mine just gonna do my last, because we in overdrive, is that a choice. When Kanye West talks about slavery, and he talks about slavery was a choice, I think we have to be certain and understand that Kanye West made some statements and made some words that even himself didn't realize what he said until the media brought it back to him. I don't think that he truly understood what he said until he had to deal with it when the media brought it back to him. And then the question is, why did the media bring it back to him? It probably would have been looked over. It probably would have never been said if he had never been associated with Donald Trump. The only reason they even brought the conversation up and even put it on the platform and brought it into a communication is because they wanted to bring some flack and shame or embarrassment on President Trump. The reason why I say that is because when you listen to my man try to explain why he said what he said, then you realize that he didn't even know what he said until it was brought back to him. He didn't even know what he said until it was brought back to him. And so the point is, so I bring that to this close, okay, is that be careful in how you allow other people to destroy you or divide you and separate you and get you saying things. Because at the end of the day, each and every one of us. This is what this show is all about. You have the choice to decide whether you want to live or you want to die or the whatever the case is. You still have a choice, okay, at it, but the choice is in your hands. And so with that, this is the Focus Show, acronym for Focus. Follow one course until successful. And the success that we seek for is that one day the world will be saying descendants of American slaves. Take care. Y'all have a blessed one. I look forward to the next show. Bye-bye. All right, that's a wrap.